We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, folks, it is a Tuesday edition of College Sports Now, and disclaimer on the front end, we normally tape these shows on Monday morning.
Good thing we didn't today.
It's a good thing we didn't. There was a lot of news. He's Roddy Jones, cool. ACC Network. We got
Tommy DeVito's in the transfer portal.
That's not the news. Michael Server's kicking it with us. He looks good. He wore a collared shirt for this. We're trying something different
good
with some
you.
Video stuff. We'll see how that goes. We do have faces for radio, except for Roddy, of course, who's just too pretty for this show. But we had a lot go on in the world of college football, and I had to go to the mountains for the weekend, Roddy. Do your kids do fall
about?
Fall break is a thing for us.
Okay.
It was never a thing when I was growing up, but it's a thing. And so there was no school Friday, there was no school Monday. So my wife was like, let's go to the mountains. And I'm like, cool, I work Saturday, so I won't be going until about Sunday morning. A lot has happened in the world of college football.
When did they go?
They went up Friday morning.
Okay, gotcha.
I had the house to myself for 2 days. I finished a pint of ice cream for each day that I was at home by myself. So, you know, listen, like, it's nighttime. It's Monday night. There's breaking news. There's coach openings. There's dudes that no one cares about going in the transfer portal. There's a lot happening. But
dudes that people care about going in the transfer portal. Spencer Rattler still not in the portal as of this taping.
Rattler not in the portal, although Oklahoma has certainly found their quarterback of the future, haven't they? So let's break this all down. Let's break this down, Hot Rod. You were in right down the street from us. You were in Chapel Hill over the weekend. Barnburner, Miami, North Carolina. I mean, the game that everyone wanted to be a part of at the beginning of the year because it was going to decide the Coastal. It turned out to just be, you know,
a great game.
A couple
Thank
of three-loss teams
Steven.
Hooking up
a really
at a half-empty Keenan Stadium.
Really
it was
good
a good game. It was a good game.
Where North Carolina got booed in the fourth quarter. Their offense got booed.
I mean, rightfully so.
Spoiled North Carolina fans. No, come on.
Well,
come
let
on.
Me ask
Who,
you.
Like, North Carolina fans, football fans, have no right to boo anything. They really don't. Like, the only reason that there's any expectations on this team is because Mac Brown decided to grace you with his presence. So please save me the Lawrence Taylor talk.
Wow. Man, that's a take, Hot Rod. That's a take, bro. Listen, I mean, they had a taste of success last year. They're trying to build
Not
a program.
Even. You lost in the Orange Bowl.
Wow.
You finished fourth in the conference. They had one division, and you finished fourth with a loss to Florida State and Virginia. Just because you beat the crap out of Miami and you lost to Texas A&M in respectable fashion doesn't give you a right to have expectations that allow you to boo a head coach who's had more success than you ever will in your life. Or you, that's not true, not ever, but you know.
But
you know
before we move off the ACC talk, can I just get you to validate an opinion of mine that...
Yeah, what's up?
I think Pitt's the best team in that league.
It could be. They gave up 44 points to Western Michigan.
So there's
if
that,
trust,
yeah.
If you want to trust them, that's
listen,
fine.
Or
you can trust NC State, who lost to the seventh best team in the SEC West. Or you can trust Wake Forest, like they're undefeated.
They are? Yeah, I like Wake Forest. We've talked about the Deacs a lot on this show.
You know, we had this conversation earlier. Sorry, you got me warmed up. You got me after the ACC show, so I'm warmed up. We had this conversation on the ACC show. We played the game of, would you rather have this quarterback or DJ Uiagalelei to try and figure out where he ranked in the ACC in terms of quarterbacks? Play that game sometime at home and see where he ends up. It's interesting.
I mean, you're going to go after Big Cinco like that. I'm going to get Cerber in here to defend his guy, because Clemson and Pitt are hooking up Saturday, right? That is the game.
Are you going to?
I'm ready for Tyson. I'm ready for Tyson. I'm ready to see what the Connecticut kids got. That being said, Justin Ross, why don't you catch a pass?
I mean,
like, just catch the ball that is put directly into your hands.
Yeah. Is Justin Ross
good? Insert Clemson receiver name. Catch the ball that is in your hands.
Who's the best receiver on that team?
Honestly, Davis Allen, right? Based on what I saw last week.
I know
maybe Will Shipley. He hadn't been playing. So.
Right. Yeah, he's gone for who knows how long. Obviously, this has no bearing on the national landscape, Stephen. But much like, you know, the way Wayne has to get out his UCLA takes on Wednesdays, you know, it's sort of therapeutic for Cerber and I to talk some ACC ball. Clemson needed an outstanding catch by Joseph Ngata, a fake to score their first touchdown, a fake punt. That not only was it a fake punt, but it was a fake punt with an outstanding catch by Davis Allen. An outstanding catch by Justin Ross on that same drive. Those two things led to their second touchdown, and that's all the touchdowns that they scored against Syracuse. Like, that here's where we are. You have to make, like, five-star athletes make five-star athlete plays a handful of times a game, and you get two touchdowns. Like, usually that's to get the sixth and seventh touchdown, but that's where we are.
Well, the reason for that, though, is that there were multiple times in that game on just simple plays that would have been chunk plays where it wasn't a crazy miraculous catch that needed to be made, where guys just dropped the ball that was right there, or DJ just misses them wide open. Yeah. And so it's like, it's also, yeah, they're there. The reason they are there is because they're not executing on the simple plays. Like, they're flexing and doing the stuff that five stars can do, but they're not doing the things that walk-on Hunter Renfro could do.
Yeah, that's true. And by the way, in case you're wondering, they are the most penalized team in the ACC in terms of number of penalties per game.
Can't have that.
Can't win with that. Can't
no.
win with that. All right, Stephen, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I appreciate the ACC talk off the jump. Here's what we're doing. We have no guests today because our entire routine has been thrown off because of me. We're taping the show on a Monday night. I'm usually in bed in about 20 minutes from now. So I'm on fumes, the kids, the car ride. We had soccer practice. It's been a day, man. It's been a day. All right? Not going to lie. It's been a day. There was a Shaq-a-roni pizza waiting for us at the end of the night.
There was that. Boy.
We donated to charity tonight and to my belly. So there's been some good
Hang on. You don't put the tea in it when you're on College Sports Now?
I've cleaned it up.
Thing?
I've decided to finally clean up the proper pronunciation. He's donating money to charity, Serbs. I mean, he's doing a good thing here.
Yeah, but I liked it better when you called it Shaq-a-roni. I liked that better.
It's a pizza named after a basketball player that retired 15 years ago. You can add whatever letters you want.
Mm-hmm. Have you had one, Roddy?
No Shaq-a-roni for me.
Well, here's what I'm saying. If someone was like, hey, man, you want a piece of this Shaq-a-roni? What do you think? Hey, man, you want a piece of this Shaq-a-roni?
Yeah, I'm eating that pizza. Yeah,
there you go.
Not only that, I'm devouring it. Like, I'm going after it. Like,
it's settled.
Yeah.
So I do have some Shaq-a-roni pizza in my system, which helps. No, I want to talk coaching. Like, right before we came on, we found out that Nick Rolovich has been let go of his duties in Pullman.
Couldn't see that coming.
Because of failure to comply with the COVID vaccine. State of Washington's like, yo, man, we gave you a month to figure this out. You're out of here.
Dude, Mike Leach lasted there until he decided to leave. What the hell do you have to do to get fired from Washington State? Apparently not get a shot.
Not get a shot. And weren't there a bunch of guys on his staff as well, like some assistants who also had to go? So, well, I don't want to talk about that because that's pretty fresh. But, you know, the Ed Orgeron news was maybe not surprising, Roddy, but the way in which all that broke after the win over Florida, after beating a rival, I realized that LSU's a 500 football team since they won a national championship 21 months ago. Wasn't that long ago, man. Like, those guys were on top of the college football world. What do you make of it? Because now you got an LSU opening. You got a Southern Cal opening. Probably a Miami opening. I mean,
I don't know about that. I think there will be openings in the ACC. I'm not convinced that it's Miami. I'm more convinced of other places.
But you want to break some news here? I mean, what are you thinking, Rod Stradamus?
Look, I think when you look at what's going on in Blacksburg and the way that thing has gone, they're a 3-3 football team right now that's got a hell of a back end. They can't score points on offense. It's the worst offense in Justin Fuente's era.
And he's an offensive guy, right?
He's an offensive guy slash he won't let go of his offensive coordinator. Now, after last season, people wanted him gone. Brad Cornelison's the offensive coordinator, wanted him gone, but they were putting up 400 yards a game. They were the third best offense in the league. This year, they are dead last. They are awful on offense. You fired Bud Foster, and last year the defense was terrible. This year it's rebounding. And look, he flirted publicly with the Baylor job. I just think there's a lot of smoke around Justin Fuente. And I like Coach Fuente. We had a great conversation a couple weeks ago when I had their game. But it just feels like that's a place that's going to be a little iffy. Duke just got shut out over the weekend. David Cutcliffe's one of my favorite coaches in the league. I don't see how he's back next year. I just don't. One way or another, I don't see that happening. And then you don't know what's going to happen at Syracuse. You don't know what's going to happen at Miami. And you don't know what the secondary market is going to bring for some of these ACC coaches. A guy like Jeff Hafley, he's not going to get one of the jobs that you talked about, but he could get one of the jobs that the guy who gets one of the jobs that you talked about leaves.
Interesting.
If that makes sense. So yeah. That sort of trickle down. Like, you look at a Jeff Hafley, you look at I know Dave Clawson, he's been at Wake Forest for a long time, and someone eventually is going to be like, that guy's doing a good job. Maybe it's Kentucky after Mark Stoops takes LSU. I don't know. Like, these are the things that you have to sort of consider. So I am not convinced, though, about Miami because of the money aspect of it and who they are going to want to go get. They want Cristobal. Cristobal is not making as much money as you think. He's not making as much money as I thought. He's making somewhere in the fours, which makes him affordable for Miami if you pay him the same. But you're paying Manny's buyout, you're paying his buyout, and then he gets a raise. Like, he's not taking a hometown discount. There's got to be an influx of money into resources. So, and then he's got to do what Manny's doing right now, which is clean out the program and fill it with talent. I don't know. I don't know about Miami.
I mean, Cristobal is going to be wanted in Baton Rouge, I would think, as well. I mean, he's got to be one of the guys you call.
He's going to be wanted at USC. He's going to be wanted at Baton Rouge. He's like, you are in a bidding war if you go for Mario Cristobal, and you are banking, Miami fans are banking on him taking a hometown discount. And newsflash, you don't do that for a worse job, even if it is where you went to school. Miami's a worse job than all the jobs that we just talked about.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's interesting.
Especially LSU. Like, it is a much worse job than LSU.
Yeah, I mean, LSU's in the SEC West. Miami's in the ACC Coastal.
Stop it. The last three coaches that have coached at LSU have won national championship, two of which are basically bumbling idiots. So Les Miles and Ed Orgeron. And Les Miles should have had two, but his team couldn't score against Alabama the second time that they played him that year that they lost in the national championship game. That is a place that is it's almost like Ohio State, where it's basically idiot-proof. Like, Ohio State is basically idiot-proof because it is the primary school, without question, in a state where that is full of talent. And LSU more so than Ohio State. Like, LSU gets, like, six of the top eight guys out of that state every single year. And by the way, that state produces, like, Odell Beckhams and Jarvis Landry's. They didn't get Travis Etienne, and that was, like, a major upset, you know? Like, Darius Geis's, like, all in their backyard. They get all those dudes. All of them. So, and there's no other school in the country that enjoys that level of ease when it comes to recruiting. Like, they don't even have to worry about it.
I would put Georgia in that discussion.
They're close. But, like, you look at I should have prefaced that. Georgia has sort of become that. But even so, like, Trevor Lawrence goes to Clemson. Like, that doesn't happen in Louisiana. You know, Deshaun's different, but you'll have guys leak to Alabama. There's more competition in Georgia than there is in Louisiana.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. So here's my question. Here's how I'd like to kind of phrase this. You know, the LSU job is open, even though Coach O is going to finish out the year. We'll see how that plays out. Should be interesting. You think it's a better job than Southern Cal? And if you're Scott Woodward, the AD, who's your call? Like, where are you going first, Roddy?
I know Jimbo Fisher is sort of the sexy one to go after. I call Mark Stoops. That's my first call. I don't know if it's sexy enough, but like, if you can do that at Kentucky, you can do it at LSU. He knows the league. He knows what he's recruiting against. He knows who he's competing against. He's got the bloodlines to know what it's like to play at a place like that on a week-in, week-out basis. He's a face-of-the-program type guy in a way that Ed Orgeron never was. So I think Mark Stoops is the guy that I would go after. It's substance. It may not be the sizzle of a Billy Napier. It may not be the sizzle of a Jimbo Fisher, but it is substance. And I want substance if I'm LSU.
You think I like Mark Stoops? Let the record show before I backhand this.
Before you barbecue him, before you put him in a body bag.
Can you win a national championship with Mark Stoops?
You want it with Les Miles and Ed Orgeron.
I understand.
Yes, you can win a national championship with Mark Stoops.
And I don't know. I mean, you,
bro. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah, I did, but I'm not listening. Like, I heard it, but I'm not listening. Go ahead, Serbs. What you got?
The fact that we're even talking about Mark Stoops, head coach at Kentucky, being a potential LSU head coach, I think proves he can win a national championship at LSU.
He's not my potential. That's who Roddy's picked. That's Roddy's guy.
The reason why he makes sense, though, is because Kentucky is not a doormat in the SEC, which they have been forever.
They are.
Like, there's never been a time where Vandy and Kentucky were viable in that conference. James Franklin got Vandy there, and therefore he got the Penn State job. Mark Stoops has gotten Kentucky there, therefore he's going to get a better job. And LSU makes a hell of a lot of sense.
It does. Who would you? I mean, like, so I would. Mark Stoops, I think, is a good one. Is a really good one. I look at a guy. You know, you look at some of these lists, and it's like Mel Tucker. Love Mel Tucker. Been all over the SEC. He's done it 1 year at Michigan State. I need a guy with proven success.
Just at Colorado before that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and they were terrible for his 1 year here. They were there. Now, that wasn't his fault. It was his first year at Colorado. But he's got to win. And honestly, after Michigan State finishes the season, I'm not sure people are really going to be like, yes, Mel Tucker's the guy. Because I think they got a couple coming to him. Like, I think Michigan beats him, Ohio State beats him, and Penn State beats him. And maybe they get got by somebody else. I don't know. We'll see. I think Lane Kiffin makes a lot of sense, but if you're LSU, do you go from one like kind of volatile hire to another kind of volatile hire? I don't know. I think Lane Kiffin makes a lot of sense, though. I'd love to see Lane Kiffin at LSU, and he'd go, I'm assuming. How far is Oxford from Baton Rouge? He'd probably be there in 2 hours. Is it 2 hours away?
I don't think it's that close, but it's
3 hours.
It's a car ride for sure.
Okay.
What about James Franklin?
I don't know. Like, sure. I mean, I think James Franklin's a good coach. Yeah, sure. I think that works. But, like, people are throwing out James Franklin. If you're James Franklin, do you take the LSU job?
I mean, you've got your pick. I mean, if you want a job, this is a cycle where Southern Cal and LSU are on the table. I mean,
Are either of those jobs better jobs than Penn State? I would make the argument that you can win a national championship at LSU easier than you can win it at Penn State, which is saying something because Alabama. But LSU's done it. And Penn State hasn't. But from an expectation standpoint, if you don't win a national championship at LSU, you're out of there. If you don't win a national championship at Penn State, sure, hang around. Like, Penn State's cool with 10 wins now. So, like, quality of life-wise, making plenty of money.
By the way, even if you do win a national championship at LSU, you're still out.
They fired the last two guys that won national championships for him.
Yeah, I mean, James Franklin's been at Penn State for 8 years. There are built-in advantages going about your business in Baton Rouge or L.A. as opposed to State College. Like, you talked about recruiting, Roddy. It ain't the 70s, man. You don't have five-star talent coming out of the Rust Belt anymore.
That's true.
You do, but point. Not... I mean,
not to that level.
We all know it kind of runs through the Southeast. It runs through, like, warm weather places.
I like James Franklin. I think that's a... an interesting one, but like that one's not cut and dry to me. Like, Penn State's one of the blue bloods, man, and they got plenty of money. He makes plenty of money recruiting wise. You're right. Your point is well taken. Although Pennsylvania is not devoid of talent, and he goes in the DMV, he goes into New Jersey. So I don't know. I think Mark Stoops makes the most sense.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
By the way, Ed Orgeron, his record at LSU, I mean, he's still going to see through the year, right?
Guess. But it's like 49-17. Is that what it was? Did I read that correctly?
Yeah, 49. Say that out loud, man. 49-17.
And also, here's the thing. When they hired Ed Orgeron 5 years ago, if you'd have said, hey, look, you're going to end pretty terrible. You're going to start like pretty mediocre, but you'll win a national championship. And you know, throw in the embarrassments that they've had with the sanction, or not the sanction, but the investigations and all that stuff. Like, would you sign up for that? LSU fans would say, absolutely. Sign me up for the national championship with one of the greatest teams ever. Like, we'll take that run for whatever. So,
right, right. As a fan, I would take that. Although I don't want to just brush some of the investigation stuff under the rug, because like some of that stuff's pretty nasty.
It's very serious.
That stuff is very serious. But you just kind of wonder, like, I mean, you mentioned a guy like Jimbo Fisher, who's making, I think the average is like 9.5 a year over 10 years. Like, I don't think you can possibly, I know there's folks in Louisiana that got money, but that's a lot. I mean,
it's that oil money.
You can't. That's too much, man. That's too much. By the way, there is another guy out there who's the head coach of the number two team in the nation right now, Luke Fickell. That's a tough sell, bringing him down to Baton Rouge.
Number two.
But I'm just saying, are you poo-pooing the number two team in the country?
Absolutely. I poo-pooed the last one. Might as well poo-poo this one.
Wow. I mean, they've just beaten everybody on their schedule, Roddy, for the last 2 years. Yep. Like, what more do you want?
Them to play somebody?
Who's somebody,
them to
man?
To actually be the number two team in the country?
Okay. Well, I mean, put them in the playoff and give them a chance.
Okay. Sure.
I mean, look, they almost gave Georgia a loss in their backyard. I realize
stop
they...
Stop it.
Just stating facts here, man.
Don't bring me these bowl games. Like, don't bring me the bowl games.
What do you want, man? What do you want them to schedule, like...
No,
you
I want them to
schedule
be better
Alabama and Dallas or something?
I want them to be better at football. I want them to have better players, be better coached, and be better at football.
They got That's NFL players on that roster?
They have... yes. And by NFL players, the, you know, three might encompass all of them.
Yeah, I mean, Desmond Ritter's going to play on Sunday, not as a quarterback, but he'll be a Sunday player.
Georgia has more NFL players on their roster than Cincinnati may have scholarship players.
Yeah, but that's not a fair comparison.
That's who we're comparing them to. Okay, Oklahoma. If we were to stack up,
I take Cincinnati and Oklahoma right now.
What's the ratio? What's the ratio you think? You think Oklahoma beats Cincinnati?
Well, I mean, they'd be favored to beat Cincinnati, but that's a matchup that I'd be here for. That'd be a good game.
Do you think Oklahoma would beat Cincinnati? Here, let's go down the list, because college football playoff rankings come out in 2 weeks. And when Cincinnati starts at like 6, people are going to have a hissy fit. But the thing that they don't realize is the AP poll just, it's like a golf leaderboard. Like, somebody loses, slide the next guy up. Somebody loses, slide the next guy up. Like, they don't actually watch the games. If you watch Ohio State right now, Ohio State's the second best team in the country. And it's probably not, well, it is close, with Alabama, who's lost, but they're at 5 for whatever reason. Both of them are better than Cincinnati, hands down. Oklahoma with Caleb Williams, stop it. Like, Cincinnati's not scoring with them. They're just not. They're just not. And you can go on down the list. Like, Cincinnati beat Michigan? Don't worry, I'll wait. Cincinnati beat Michigan State.
Yeah, yeah.
They beat Michigan Junior.
I think they could beat Michigan.
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
So you got Cincinnati where? Six,
probably seven,
seven,
eight. And like, if you're asking me where does Cincinnati fit in terms of where are they in the country, like Cincinnati is the what best team in the country? I'd be like, seven or eight.
Wow.
But like, they don't play. Here's the thing, Steven. And we can talk all we want about, hey, they got two corners that are going to play in the NFL, and they got this guy who's going to play in the NFL. Like, there's a lot of cute, nice teams that are that have a couple of guys that are going to play in the NFL. You can also talk about, well, they're really well coached, and they've just beaten everybody on their schedule for the last 2 years. Sure, yes. And is that the case for everybody? No. Are they a special program for who they are? Yes, but so is North Dakota State. So then we're not like, well, North Dakota State needs to be in the playoff when they were doing their thing in FCS just because they railed everybody that they were playing. So with Cincinnati, if you play in one of these leagues, okay, if I put Cincinnati in the Pac-12, talent-wise, where are they in the Pac-12?
Probably like
middle
top,
of the road.
I was going to say like top middle five. Yeah, top five.
But yeah, but they're not one, two, or three. So they're maybe four or five.
Okay.
If you put them in the SEC, where are they? Yeah. Bottom half.
Yeah.
If you put them in the Big Ten, where are they? Bottom
middle,
half.
Middle.
Bottom half.
Dude, I think
the entire Big Ten West, East, and then you take the two top teams in the Big Ten West. Like, they're bottom half. Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State.
That's it. Indiana's trash. Rutgers is trash.
No, but
Maryland is trash.
Wisconsin's got more talent. Now, they're better than Wisconsin. I'm not saying they aren't. But I'm saying talent-wise, Iowa's got more pros. Wisconsin's got more pros. So we're at seven now. Like, they would be at number seven. We can go down the line. You put them in the ACC, they'd
be the best. Come on. Like, let's not joke around. This is
should've
not a stopped. Joke cast.
Should have stopped while I was ahead. Yeah. They'd be probably number three. But that's besides the point. So what I'm saying is, though, they are in a league where they have the most talent in that league, and it's not close right now. SMU is the next closest, maybe Houston, but it's not really close. And so what that allows you to do is it allows you to go out, and when you play a C game, you don't get beat. They can play a C game every single year, every single place, and they don't get beat. And it's okay when that's Alabama and they're doing it through the Southeastern Conference, because that is the best conference in the land. Like, if they are that much better than everybody else in the SEC, then it's fine. But let me tell you, like, it's different when you play Tulane and when you play the last place team in the SEC West, which is, who's that right now?
Is it Arkansas?
It's Arkansas. Yes, it's absolutely correct.
Hate to
so
see
when
it.
You go to Arkansas, you got 80,000 yelling at you, and you got pros on the other side. And even if they're not like first round pros, they're seventh round pros, and they got a few of them. Like, those dudes can mess you up. So while I respect, sorry, I've gone a long time. While I respect Cincinnati, going through that conference where you've got Navy, you've got Tulsa,
you've got
Tulane,
ECU. Yeah, you got,
like,
some bad teams.
ECU. Yeah. No, it's not even that they're bad teams. It's that, like, they don't have anybody that would play for Cincinnati. Whereas you go to one of these other leagues, and everybody in the top half of those leagues probably at least competes for a starting spot at Cincinnati.
Yeah, I hear all of that, man. I hear all of that. But top four teams make the playoff.
Correct.
I've seen for the last 6 years what happens when Oklahoma gets to that game, and they get their shit kicked in.
Okay.
All right. Fair. Like,
oh,
I'm just saying.
I've avoided it.
No, I mean, it's I'm just late, saying.
So why not?
Like, at some point, I realize that Cincinnati's schedule and league sucks, but that's also a Big 12 program.
Not yet.
All right.
You gotta go to Stillwater to be a Big 12 program.
I'm just saying.
Right?
Like,
you gotta go to Lubbock.
You gotta go to Morgantown. In the eyes of voters this year, is it a Big 12 team? No, but it's a Big 12 program. Like, Luke Fickell is coaching at a Big 12 program.
Because you stick
them
in the Big 12, and like, they're Kansas State.
I don't know about that. I don't. Not this
Serber's
year.
Serber's nodding in agreement. Like, yeah. Oh, absolutely. They're better coached than Kansas State. But like, talent wise, Cincinnati doesn't scare anybody in those leagues. Not when you get them on a week in, week out, but when Cincinnati can play like it's the Super Bowl, of course. Like, because the motivation is purely on Cincinnati's side, and you're trying to tell these guys, like, look, man, these corners are going to play in the league. And he's like, yeah, but the nose tackle is 5'9". But you get them on a week in, week out basis, and like, they got to go to Manhattan. They got to go to Stillwater. Then they get Iowa State at home, and then they get Baylor at home, and then they come to you. You're like, please, bro, I got this. And you roll them.
Yeah, I hear you on that, but let's play this out.
You know how I know I'm right? Because comparable programs, that's what happens to them in those conferences. It is.
500 football teams.
If you're not Oklahoma, Alabama, if you're not the usual suspects, you go into those conferences and that's what happens to you. And it would happen to Cincinnati.
Okay, but let's play this out.
Okay.
This season, with all the teams picking up losses, with what Cincinnati has in front of them, you think they enter the college football playoff somewhere in like the 6-7 range?
So let's look
even
at the
that's
people.
Too high.
Too high, so? Says Sir. I don't. Wow.
Oh man.
They don't.
Sir,
like going? what is the win?
Notre Dame.
Like,
I mean,
road.
They did go to South Bend and
please.
Okay. Agreed, Serber.
This
agreed.
Notre
agreed.
Dame team is not it, man. Agreed. This Notre Dame team also almost lost to one of the worst Florida State teams there has ever been.
Florida State is a team that nobody wants to play right now.
Here
but,
it comes.
But at that
here
time.
It comes,
at that
sir.
Time and the four yeah. weeks or the 3 weeks after it when they lost
correct.
Consecutive games.
Correct.
That was a team in trouble. Big
listen,
trouble.
I don't want to argue
and Notre
about
Dame
the
is just not it, man.
I don't want to argue about the merits of what Cincinnati has done or will do. I'm willing to acknowledge, yes, schedule, the strength, the conference, all that stuff. It's not great. But if they win all their games, when you see what else is happening in college football this year with everybody else picking up L's.
But we're assuming that the L's are going to continue at the rate that they have. And I think that's an unfair assumption because historically it hasn't. So, and like we can talk about the number of AP poll top 25 teams that have lost, but that also includes North Carolina, who's fucking terrible. So
wow.
like
way to really earn it, Roddy.
You already earned it.
I dropped an S-bomb. Not they're not all created equal, man.
I used it for emphasis. So we overestimate like Iowa State. Like we were faulty in our evaluation, and by we I mean the dumbasses that vote for the AP poll were faulty in their estimations of what some of these teams would be. And that goes into it as well. Some of it's COVID. Some of it's the transfer portal. Some of it's coaching. Like it's a bunch of stuff rolled up into one. But to get back to the Cincinnati conversation, if everybody wins for the next 2 weeks, because we got this is we're having this conversation a week early, I think. But if everybody wins the next 2 weeks, I would say it's probably Georgia, then Ohio State, then Alabama, then Oklahoma. Or maybe Oklahoma and Alabama flip those. That's probably your top four. And then right outside, you've got Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, potentially an Oklahoma State or a Michigan State. And then you start to get the Cincinnati. Michigan State's probably not as strong a resume, but Oklahoma State's got some decent wins. So I don't know.
I mean, Michigan State, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, they're all going to step into the octagon together.
Correct. And that's why they'll get lumped and they'll let them figure it out.
Yeah. I don't know, man. We'll see. Like you said, yeah, it's 2 weeks away, a little more than 2 weeks away, but I'm here for it. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be fascinating. And I think you're wrong. I think you're both wrong. I think Cincinnati will appear in the top five in the inaugural set of rankings. That's all I'm saying.
They won't stay there.
Okay. Very good.
There.
Very good.
I think they might,
even if they
like, I think they may debut at five and just never move.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, what does Felder say all the time? It's TV. It's a TV show. It's a TV show, y'all. And the idea of having Cincinnati sitting at five for, six straight weeks, wondering, are they going to make it? Is someone going to leapfrog over them? It's a reason to tune in to your great employer, Roddy Jones.
Yeah.
And, like, the playoff... I mean, you won't convince me that the committee's not going to think about that.
I mean,
like,
listen, Serber.
The excitement of the idea of a
Serber,
group of five
school. Let's be real, bro. You and I, we're a couple years away from tuning in on Wednesday night and seeing this man right here, Roddy Jones, at the desk in a suit, maybe like a little pocket square
look, man.
Tie clip, whatever they're wearing in those days, like in like 2025, 26, Roddy's going to be there. He's going to be giving takes. He's going to be dapping it up with Jesse Palmer. They're going to be talking about rooms to go coupons and all that stuff.
Jesse's doing The Bachelor now. Like,
whatever.
I'm not here to bury your employer, Roddy, but like the idea that you're calling games and there isn't just a box of you. Like I just want a close up of you, like we got right now in the bottom corner, like that's just like a wasted opportunity.
I
wasted opportunity.
You know what?
To not have your mug up there at all times.
In all, nobody.
So
wants
it's a natural that. Progression for you to go to the desk.
The we did get something last week that got me really excited. So my producer last week tells me, "Hey, look, you know Herbie's clicker, like or Kirk's clicker that they got on the late night." He's like, "We're gonna do it, and we're gonna call it Roddy's Remote or Roddy's Rewind." And so they gave me the clicker thing. Like, I've got the DB Sport thing where I can do it on a replay. Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. Tune in. Is it actually a remote? I mean, it's literally like a clicker?
Like, it's literally like a remote that I control. Like, and it's live on television. I'm like, guys, you really want to give me this much power? Like, I can rewind and fast forward this thing. And they're like, no, but it seems cool. And it's what the cool kids are doing. So we're going to do it.
I respect the hell Jones. Out of that. He's a hell of an engineer.
I respect the hell out of that. Speaking of Roddy and the future, we will get to Rod Stradamus in a little bit. There, yeah, Roddy had a week. He had a week. He went 4-2. We'll get to that. One more thing, though, from the weekend that I got to hit you up on, because this is, I'm watching it Saturday night and I'm like, man, this has gotten out of hand. The Tennessee Ole Miss game with Tennessee folks throwing shit on the field.
Yeah.
Your reaction to that as a former player turned analyst, and then any personal anecdotes, like anybody ever try to throw a range ball at you, Roddy Jones?
No. First off, why do they have a range ball in the stadium?
Great question. I love golf. I love football. I've never combined the two and been right. Like, yo, let me sneak this max fly into the stadium.
That right. is peak, bro. Like, right. I just carry right. one with me at all
yeah,
times. You never know.
But it's Tennessee, man. It's not. It's a different. Like, that was a neon yellow, like, range ball.
Yeah.
Like
Where
that,
would you expect someone to have one of those?
Yeah, probably Tennessee. Yeah, you're probably right. Or, like,
just keep it on me, bro. You never know. You never, know.
Never know we're going to hit a couple, you know?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know, man. Like, it's a form of aggression that I would associate with, like, that fan base. Like, there's crazy fan bases in the SEC, but I feel like,
and then there's
I'm gonna stop. What did you think of that as it was unfolding? Were you like, yo, that is legitimately scary? Like, we should be concerned for player. I mean, everybody's wearing a helmet. Like, I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
We shouldn't be concerned. Like, it is incredibly disrespectful.
Sure.
I don't think if you're throwing golf balls at people, like, generally everybody on the sideline has a helmet on at some point in time, but like, guys don't always have, and like, a golf ball can hurt. It's not gonna like kill anybody, I don't think. But in terms of the throwing stuff, I just think it's, you know, for me to say it's classless and it's disrespectful, that's one thing. But like, I don't know, man. I just think it's just so shitty of a fan base. Like, how can you be proud to be a part of that fan base if you're a Tennessee fan today? You know, like. Like you're the fan base that, because you're getting beat to a guy that left you high and mighty, high and dry, you want to throw stuff on the field? Like,
Have you ever experienced anything even in the same league?
When we were at, no, not in the same league. When we were at Georgia, people would pour stuff on us. And when we beat them in 08, people were pouring like beers and stuff on us. I don't even know if it was beer.
Like going through the tunnel? Like walking into our tunnel. Leaving the field?
Yeah. So like, you know, that was one of those things that we didn't care. We were winning. And
was that after you had broken down the hedges and were like, you know, had it in your mouth and stuff?
Yeah, we had torn up hedges and all that stuff. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so we provoked it.
So you did a little property damage and then they returned the favor with, you know.
Sure.
Giving you a little taste of their dark liquor drink on the way.
It's pretty sad for Tennessee, though, that we're talking about, like, Georgia being more classy by only pouring beer on you.
Correct.
Well, the only thing I'll say, first of all, the fact that
But were you surprised by, like, Tennessee fans doing that?
No, I wasn't surprised.
If you were to ask me, like, hey, who's most likely to do this? I'd be like, probably Tennessee.
It's a night game, first of all. So people have been getting sauced for 10, 12 hours. Like, people have been getting ready for that game all day. There's the Tennessee is back. Like, night game, Vol walk, sellout, the arch enemies in town. Like, there were a lot of different recipes for why that arrived at a place. The fact that this game was being broadcast on the SEC network was appropriate, like highly ironic, because the commentators were like, they were trying to describe what was happening while also being like, yeah, this is one of us, like one of us.
Right.
So that was interesting. Baby. That was interesting. I did flip over. I just had to do this because it's at our fingertips. Server, I don't know if you did this or not. The Varsity Network app, I just flipped on DK. Like, I wanted to listen to the Ole Miss Radio Network.
Because I listened to I listened to Bob Kessling on the Vol Network throughout that whole thing.
Okay, so that was the thing. I wanted to kind of bounce back and forth like we do on the Blitz, but like, I mean, Kellen was just like, there goes another one. That one's from the upper deck. Like just bottles. Now, we brought this up on Hand in the Dirt earlier in the week. When you go to a concert, Roddy, that's why they take the tops off those bottles.
So you don't throw them?
So you can't fill them up and make them like a weapon. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Same with beers. Like, yes, this is a metal beer, and I don't know what the beer situation is at Neyland Stadium, but they take the top off and they give it to you. There's no top. Yeah. You can't fill it back up.
You can sell beer in the SEC, and the SEC has no plans on restricting that at Neyland Stadium.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, what good will it do when you can bring in a French's mustard bottle and fill that up with dark liquor, as you like
dark
to say?
Dark liquor.
Yeah. Because that's what, like, no one brought mustard, right? It was definitely a tool of which to sneak liquor in.
How many times does that empty French's mustard container need to run through the dishwasher before you get the taste of mustard out of your dark liquor?
Ooh, doesn't matter. Question. Doesn't matter.
It should matter.
Well, if you're carrying dark liquor into a stadium in a French's mustard bottle, you don't give a damn how much mustard.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're also already probably so hammered that
that's not your first drink. Your first drink doesn't come out of the French's mustard.
Are you just taking pulls off of it, or are you like actually mixing it with
No, no, no. It's got the squirt. Like, I think you're sharing with people. You're like, you want a shot?
Yeah. That's disgusting. Yeah,
it's like a Gatorade
like a water bottle
on the sideline.
Exactly.
That's disgusting.
I got to get liquored up.
I like mustard, but man, I could never imagine being like, this is it. This is brilliant. Like, the light bulb's gone on. I'm going to take this French's mustard bottle, and this is going to be my vehicle with which I can bring in 6 ounces of bourbon.
I posit that like a little ketchup bottle would be better anyway. Because you can see the level of what you've got left inside, things like that. I guess maybe the French's one, you're just like, well, worst case, if someone spots it, they'll just think I really like French's mustard, you know, and they got Heinz in the stadium or something.
The one thing, though, to me, Roddy, and again, I didn't play the game, you did, but like the outrage of what we saw and like, you know, this is disgusting and it's so dangerous. It's like, it's not more dangerous than what those guys are doing on the field.
People like to throw their skirts up. Oh, I shouldn't say that. People like to get all excited about stuff like this. Like, oh, it just shows like that how classless the fans are, and it's so dangerous for the players and all this. And it's like, come on.
That would happen anywhere. Like, well, in fact, it's already happened at South Carolina.
Right. Like,
does South Carolina fan base have a notoriety for being classless individuals? No, they don't.
By the
because
way,
it's just a bunch
SEC,
of drunk
so
kids.
It's like the lower.
This happens in European soccer every week. By the way, like not the golf balls part, but you know the bottles and just the throwing stuff. I mean, go look at those stadiums. There's fences for a reason, man.
Yeah, well, that's in like the Russian soccer that you watch, but. But like, if you are
Turkey.
In like one of the decent leagues, you know, you don't get
you don't watch Greek soccer, man. You should probably check that out.
Turkish Super League ain't bad.
It's not terrible. It's not terrible. Yeah. You haven't lived until you've seen Olympiakos take on somebody.
Well, I've seen Olympiakos take on somebody, but in the Champions League.
Nah, man, nothing wrong with watching a little Saturday morning. You don't ever put together like a 9-team European soccer parlay just to see how that goes on a Saturday morning.
Put it down, man. Get off, like, step away from the gambling.
You know anything about the K League, South Korea?
The
Wake
Korean
up to winners.
League? No, I heard it's like I heard it's.
I mean, you and I should hook up offline. I mean, those games kick at about 3:30 a.m. Eastern.
Ooh, buddy.
But we can talk about that a little bit later. I'll tell you what, that's a perfect segue into some Rostradamus. All right?
Already there? Hold on, we're not going to talk about Caleb Williams?
You can talk Caleb Williams all you want. I told you about Caleb Williams last week, and instead all you wanted to talk to me about was how Texas shit the bed. And I'm like, I think this guy might be like a game changer for Oklahoma. And you're like, nah, Texas blew it.
Let's
talk about Texas.
Both of those things can be true at once. I thought that was both of those things could be true. But like, people are saying that he's a Heisman Trophy candidate. Are you buying that?
Well, first of all, maybe you weren't on the show because I understand we do a lot of these during the week. College Sports Now does not care or value about the Heisman Trophy.
No, that's not true. Friday on College Sports Now doesn't value or care about the Heisman
Trophy. No, I mean, you and Wayne like to wax about it during the week, but like, It's not given to the best player in college football.
It doesn't matter. It's the most prestigious single trophy. It's the most prestigious trophy given to a singular player in all of sports. The most prestigious trophy.
Come at me with the gold medal in the Olympics. How about that?
That's not a trophy given to an individual. That's a medal that's earned. It's like a Stanley Cup, like for one person.
Oh, okay. So just so I'm clear, the Nissan Heisman Trophy, that's more prestigious than like winning a gold medal for your country? Get
okay,
here,
they are in no, two separate different. Categories. One is earned, one is voted upon. It's like the MVP in basketball.
Do you know how many idiots have a Heisman vote?
It doesn't matter, Steven.
It does. Purge the voters.
Okay. So I agree with you there.
Purge.
However, it's the most prestigious individual award given in all of American sports. God. You can't name me one that's more prestigious than the Heisman.
I'm thinking about Best in the Show, Westminster MVP. Dog Kennel, Dog Show. I don't know, man. I think that's
a real crowd pleaser.
I think that's an egregious statement.
It's an egregious statement, but you can't think of another one that stands up to it.
The
MVP in basketball is the second most. Who is the MVP in baseball? No one cares about. Could walk down the street and nobody knows. The MVP in football.
Don't talk about Freddie Freeman like that, bro.
I couldn't even remember it was Freddie Freeman.
Come on, man. You're wearing a Braves hat, for God's sakes.
They give out two of them. They give out one in each league.
And they give them out. They give them out.
Give one for the whole thing.
They give them out in like June too, which I well. Still,
and they play. They play different rules in each league. So
all right, fine. For the benefit of this argument, yeah, Heisman Trophy. It's a big deal. Caleb Williams ain't winning it. I mean, come on.
Oh, is that how we started this?
I mean, the guy didn't play the first 5 weeks. That's kind of a factor.
But like the thing is though, who else? Bijan Robinson's not going to win enough, so you can nix him off. Kenneth Walker's not going to win enough, so you can nix him off. C.J. Stroud's going to have some opportunities. Like, it's probably going to end up being him. Bryce Young, sure, but he threw a touchdown in the end zone against Texas A&M, and they lost that game on the road to an unranked team. Heisman Trophy winners
Zeus?
Do that?
Zeus? At
no,
Georgia?
No. Got a shot he's not no? putting up the no. numbers. You, no, I mean, Jordan Davis has a better case than Zeus.
Correct, and he's a nose tackle, so... Yeah. Like, that's not happening. And he doesn't have the numbers either.
Maybe this is the year it gets weird.
And a guy who didn't start the first five games wins it.
Yeah.
Fits the bill. He's an Oklahoma quarterback. I'm just saying, like, I think the Heisman, I know the Friday version of this show hates the Heisman, but it is a very prestigious award, and that's why we should care about it, because it means a lot to a lot of people. And as someone who covers college football and someone who has loved college football for basically my entire life, someone who once won a Heisman Trophy in NCAA football 2007.
Road to glory, huh?
The Heisman Trophy means a lot to me.
Wait, you won a Heisman Trophy as yourself?
No.
Oh, what was your character name?
It's like Tyrone Biggums or something like that.
What was he? QB? Running back? Wide receiver?
Oh, he's definitely a quarterback. Nice. Definitely a quarterback. I can't remember what his name was, though. But anyway, I love college football, and I love a lot about college football. I love the trophies. I love the pageantry. I love the history. And the Heisman Trophy is part of that. And so I love the Heisman Trophy. I love it. And does it go to the best player in college football? No. Has it evolved into something that, like, is it the best player on the best team? Sometimes. But it doesn't matter. Like, those players are elevated to a level in not only, like, college football, but in, like, sports society that's rarefied air. It's a very small company. So I get you guys hate it and you rail on it all the time. But it holds a special place in college football. And so we shouldn't pshaw it when we talk about it as if it doesn't matter, because it matters a great deal.
Yeah, it matters a great deal to the guys who win it. And when they're out of the NFL 4 years later after winning it, they'll always have that Heisman Trophy that they can pawn. I mean, lean back on.
Okay, it's very rude. Like, Robert Griffin III isn't pawning his Heisman Trophy.
I was speaking more about, like, Money Manziel.
Oh, well, that guy, yeah.
I mean, there's that. Whatever. I mean, there's a few of them.
But some of them go on to be NFL MVPs, like Lamar. So,
hang on, real quick. What do we think Johnny Heisman brought in with his Heisman to also pawn?
Oh, man.
Probably autographed helmets, a lot of memorabilia.
I got this Glock 19. This is an LCD flat screen.
Plasma.
Plasma, baby. Don't turn it on its side. Don't do it. We did that moving out the dorms once. Shit, took us a month and a half to get that TV right.
Hey, listen, A&M brought him back for the Alabama game. He was on the side. He was on the sidelines. Sure, so, I mean, maybe, who knows?
Before we get to Roger Thomas, I do want to cover, like, I felt like this was a big weekend in college football.
Yeah, Iowa lost, by the way. It's taken us 45 minutes, but yeah, the number two team in the country. So,
yeah. You know why it took us 45 minutes? Because, shocker, Iowa lost. Like, eventually someone wasn't going to turn the ball over against them, and Spencer Petras was going to show us who he was.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been fading them for 6 weeks, but the week I don't, they finally, yeah, that's how that goes. What else? What else were your takeaways from week seven, man?
Well, I thought that there was some solidification that went on, like Utah's win over Arizona State in the Pac-12 South. Like,
Did you stay up for that?
Hell no! Come on, man. I stayed up until halftime, and I was like, oh, shit, Arizona State may win this thing.
Yeah, and then it was, what, 28 unanswered?
Then I woke up the next morning. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
And Cam Rising apparently is like, why wasn't Cam Rising starting at the beginning? Why was it Charlie Brewer?
Great question.
Again, another guy in the portal. But anyway, Utah, that, in my opinion, gives Utah a pretty, I don't know if a stranglehold is the right word, but like, they've got the best case in the Pac-12 South now, which is interesting. Like, that is interesting to me. You could say the same thing about NC State beating Boston College in the ACC Atlantic. There's three teams that are going to contend in the top of the ACC Atlantic. Well, four if you count BC, but they're kind of on the outside. It's Syracuse. I'm sorry, not Syracuse. Golly, I was thinking about
it. We'll clean it up in post. Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
No,
it's NC State, it's Wake Forest, and it's Clemson. NC State's now got a win over Clemson. They got Wake Forest later on, and they've beaten Boston College, who's like this team that's kind of on the outside of those three that could spoil it. They've got the inside track in the ACC Atlantic, and they've got the win over Clemson. So now they just have to not mess it up. Now, they've got a little bit of a rough road because they get Carolina at the end of the year. That's obviously tough. They still haven't played Florida State or Syracuse, and those two teams are teams that, say what you want, you don't want to play them.
Or Florida State, Deeks. They haven't played the Deeks either.
And they haven't. I was getting to that. Florida State and Syracuse both will play you tough, and one of them might beat you. Florida State might beat you at the end. Syracuse will find a way to lose it, but it'll scare you along the way. And they still haven't played the Deeks, so that's fairly interesting. Pitt, dominant win over Virginia Tech.
Like, hail, baby. Hail Pitt, baby.
It was the most dominant 28-7 win I've ever seen. Like, Virginia Tech had less than 300 total yards during the game. Pitt was up 28-0 with like 5 minutes into the third quarter and was like, you know what? We'll just get to the end of this game.
Why did you not bring this up? We were talking Heisman Trophy 5 minutes ago. Your boy.
I don't know if he's going to win enough. That's the thing. I don't know if he's going to win enough. This and the national stage, like, he's got to put up numbers. This week against Clemson, say what you want about Clemson, and I will say as much as Cerber about where they are right now, that defense is still really good. And if he puts up numbers against that defense, that's going to legitimize it. But Pitt, did you see the final drive that Pitt had in that game? Probably not, because who was watching that game? Me. Pitt got the ball back with 13 minutes and like 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter, gave the ball back to Virginia Tech on a turnover on downs with a minute 30 left.
Man, that's like some Paul Johnson stuff right there, man.
Did you see the opening drive that Navy had in the game we had on Thursday?
I didn't see it. I saw a screenshot of it, and it was pretty spectacular.
21 plays and like 13 and a half minutes off the clock. Like, that first quarter flew by.
That's like
awesome.
Eggplant emojis for you, though, right, Roddy? That goes back to your playing days, man.
Football erotica.
Just death just march stuff.
Oh, so good, man.
Yeah,
just
you love
slowly
it.
Slowly sucking the soul of the defense out.
Did you go back to the hotel after UNC Miami and just turn on Army Wisconsin and just put your feet up on the desk and we're just like, oh, baby, talk to me. Like, that was it for you, wasn't it? Like, that's your type of football porn. Whatever it takes, man.
Wisconsin is never my type of football porn.
By the way, Army and the under.
He draws the line at the Badgers.
They both hit. Yeah, yeah. They both hit.
I draw the line at Wisconsin.
Did that make Rod Sherdamus last week, by the way?
I can sometimes get jiggy with Iowa, but I cannot do Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's not
Big
for everybody.
Big Ten's an acquired taste, my friend.
Big Ten is an acquired taste.
Yeah. I thought I could have sworn that made Rod Sherdamus last week,
but it did not. No, did we dip in the Big Ten last week?
Dipped in with not Big Ten. You were heavy on Big 12, though. So
we went Big 12.
You want to do Rod Stradamus here to close us out?
Yeah, sure. Let's.
You went 4-2 last week, man. I'm here to praise you. I'm here to praise you. It had been, I mean, not since week zero have you had like a definitive winning week.
Let's go.
You opened the year 2-0. It's been a struggle since then. So you went 4-2 for the year, Roddy. 21 wins.
Let's go.
20 losses.
Talk to
one push.
Let's go.
I mean,
that push is basically.
You're above 500, but I mean, I still think with the VIG that we're still in the red here. So,
okay.
You know, not to recap, but, you know, you missed with Kansas State. You missed with Oregon. Everything else was, I mean, pretty clean, man. Baylor, listen, Serb Stradamus, it was a nice run. You took BYU money line in Waco.
You could still come back, Serber.
Chip and Joe were on the sidelines, just so you know.
Really?
The ultimate power couple in college football. Like, they were there.
Had I known that, I would have never, ever picked the Cougars.
Yeah,
ever.
They were on the field for the Oklahoma meltdown a couple years ago during the Matt Rhule era, wow. when Toby Rowland, the Oklahoma radio announcer, famously dropped a...
They took a house in disrepair.
Yeah, he body bagged him on the way out when Oklahoma scored like 28 unanswered to win the game. But that's all right, Toby. You're still my guy. So... I'm looking at the board for this week, Roddy. And you again, 4-2. You dropped a 6-pack last week. I mean, the door is open, man. When shoot or shoot. So let's stay hot, man. Where you want to go?
So I'm picking right now. I'm picking a lot of road teams, which makes me nervous because, as you like to say, teams don't know how to play on the road in 2021. We've forgotten how hot. That's a terrible you, by the way.
That's okay.
Not good at all.
That's all right. It's fine, man. I'm not offended. I dish it out. I can take it.
Okay. All right. So let's start in the American. Feels like I've been in the American a lot. I'm going to go Memphis +2 at UCF. Memphis +2 at UCF. I saw Memphis. Memphis is a better team than their record. I saw UCF, and they are in a bad spot.
Yeah, they're too banged up, man. Yeah,
they're really banged up.
Yeah, they're not healthy. That's a Friday night game, by the way, at the Bounce House, man.
Love me some Fridays. You know, I love me some Friday.
Has UCF lost at home this year, though?
I don't know. It's a good question. Have they played anybody at home?
No, but I'm just saying, like, that's a tough place to play. So you want to go Memphis +2 on a Friday night, man. Go ahead.
I do.
That's a pasty game, by the way. Nobody wants to watch that.
That's not true.
Are you working that game?
Hell no. I've got the beautiful... Tulane at SMU on Thursday. Over under in that game. You know what it is?
It should be something in the 70s.
70.
You're breathing so heavy in that moment, Hartzell.
70.
I mean, yeah,
do you have to calm yourself?
I like Sonny Dykes. I like what he does, but man.
They're undefeated, man.
I know.
They're like UCF's. I mean, they're Cincinnati's worst.
Hey, sell it, baby. Sell it. I mean, come on.
Pony Express, Cincinnati's baby. Like, let's go.
Biggest challenge and also biggest best hope at getting in the playoff.
Hey, the best game of the weekday slate is Wednesday in Boone. I mean, we need to talk about that.
Last time I saw App State pop up, like, they got that ass kicked. Mm-hmm. Like, ass kicked by Louisiana last week.
So they were looking ahead, Tuesday. Obviously.
Well, they shouldn't have because they got it whooped.
Well, I mean, Billy Napier finally beat App State, man. Good for you, coach. It's about time.
Wow.
It's about time.
Wow.
Just saying.
Wow.
Just saying. Wow.
The disrespect.
Coastal Carolina comes to Boone. Serber, you want to go to that game? I got a guy Wednesday night. You want to go?
I should go.
You keep asking. You keep asking. Like, commit. Come on.
I know. You have to drive us home. Like, literally every single time.
Will you drive us home?
Yes, I will drive us home.
All right, I'll make a call.
Do it to it.
Wednesday night. I've never been to The Rock for a football game.
No way we stay for the fourth quarter.
Oh, dude, we're staying. That game's going to be in doubt. We're going to have to stay.
I don't think you guys go. No way.
Beach Chicken rolling into Boone. Come on.
DJ's own Beach Chickens.
The Shants, not the Shants. Don't come at me with that. It's the Shants. Do your homework.
Why would I come at you with Shants?
That's not you. I mean, like, I've been doing some research. The number one DMA for this show. Have you seen this, Serber?
Are we Myrtle?
It's Los... No.
Are we Dirty Myrtle?
No, thankfully we're not. It's Los Angeles, California. What? We're huge in California. Wayne. I don't know why.
And Wayne said the Shants.
Yeah, and he's wrong. So I'm here to tell y'all. It's the Shants, baby. The Chanticleers. Anyway, Memphis +2 on the board, Roddy. Where else you want to go?
All right. Next one I'm going is to the Big 12. Kansas State over Texas Tech. It's a pick 'em.
Ooh.
It's at Texas Tech. Give me Kansas State.
I like that pick. Texas Tech's not good at football.
Kansas State's lost three straight, but they played Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and Iowa State.
That's a nooner on Saturday. I love the nooners. Right. Love the nooners.
Get us going early. I got a 4 o'clock game, too. I will be tuned in.
What's the ACC Network 4 o'clock affair?
Boston College at Louisville.
Got to have
your
it.
Your boy's going to be dipping in some brown water over the
Please,
weekend.
Please, Roddy, come on, man. We all know you can't handle
dipping
that.
In some brown
that,
water.
No,
your boy's going to be sipping on that brown water.
You'll be looking
I'll
for
be
an 8 o'clock
text
flight.
Message.
Nah, oh, I know
no, I've got
be.
A I've got a 6 a.m. the next morning, but I'll be in the brown water.
Okay, all right.
I'll make it.
I might send you a shopping list, man. They got stuff there we can't get here.
I got a 5:20 flight on Friday morning. Going from Bristol.
After calling
Chicago,
a Thursday night game? Yikes.
Through Chicago to get to Louisville? This is the sexy part of the life that they don't tell you about.
Wait. What? That sucks.
Yeah, out of Hartford.
You got to go the wrong way to go the right way? That's
yeah,
terrible.
Man, there's no direct flights. No direct Ugh. Flights from Hartford to Louisville. There weren't. So here's the other option. Here's the other option that you get. You can drive down to New York and hope it's in like an hour and a half. You can drive an hour and a half to New York and hope that there's flights, but there weren't any direct flights out of New York either, which would have saved me like 30 minutes of sleep because I could have gotten up at like, I don't know, let's say I had a 7 a.m. flight in New York. I could have gotten up at 4:30 instead of 4 or something like that. It's just ridiculous.
The grind is real, man. I mean,
this is the sexy part they don't tell you about.
Yeah, it really is. Boy, just the concept of driving into New York, nothing I would want to do less than drive in or around New York City.
Yeah, that sounds about right. All right, we ready for the next one?
I've been ready, man. Come on.
All right, good. Ohio State minus 20 at Indiana. They are going to beat the dog breaks out of Indiana. They really are. And I like me a big spread. I like big spreads, and I cannot lie. You don't like that pick. Why don't
Ohio
you like that
State's
pick?
Coming off a bye, right?
They play last week? No, they didn't play last week.
I worry about the timing a little bit. Worry about the timing.
The timing of Ohio State's offense starting to absolutely roll people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the offensive line, their offensive line is mauling folks right now. CJ Stroud is on fire. And by the way, I don't know if you've heard of these two guys, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave.
Yeah.
They're
sound
unguardable.
Familiar. Yeah.
They're unguardable.
Familiar.
Travion Henderson is going to win the Heisman Trophy.
Oh, okay.
Not this year.
Very at some
but
point.
Maybe next year.
Okay, very good. Ohio State minus 20 on the road.
On the road at Indiana.
That does seem like a pretty cheap price for the Buckeyes, not going to lie.
Thank you. Thank you. Another road team. Here's the thing about this one. I don't feel great about it, but I know I'm going to trust my heart. I saw this line and I laughed. Laughed. NC State minus 3 at Miami.
Why, Roddy? Why do you need to touch this game with a 10-foot pole?
What do you mean, why? Why wouldn't I? It's stealing money. Stealing money. I've seen Miami up close and personal. It's not trusting them. It's knowing the opponent. Miami has come off to back-to-back brutal losses. They are statistically and subjectively the worst tackling team in the country. They are so bad at tackling the football. They've got some talent, but they are starting to wear thin on their depth. Like, they are in a bad spot right now. And I think mentally, I don't know where they are, bro.
Well, okay, I hear it. Listen, you've seen it up close. You called their game. My only pushback would be, like, they haven't quit.
That is
like,
true.
Like, I would have thought after the Virginia game, like, they're done. Like, they're
right.
done.
But they played two teams close, Virginia and North Carolina, that are bad. Like, North Carolina's not a good football team right now. They're average at best. Virginia's
bad? They just shut out Duke,
okay.
man.
I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that.
Kidding me?
They just body bagged Cut, man. They just rubbed his face in
Cut.
It. You don't treat a legend
that?
Like that.
Virginia,
y'all hear that? That's the sound of Duke going back to the 1990s in football. They just entered a time machine.
You can't get shut out. Especially like Virginia was the worst defense in the league before that game. Worst in the league. So,
shut him out.
Not good when you're an offensive guru and you get shut out by the worst defense.
I understand the hesitation on Miami because they haven't quit. I just think that NC State is a step up in class from the two teams that they've just played. The mistakes that North Carolina made will not be made by NC State. And Virginia can't play defense. So I don't know how Miami scores. What are you laughing at, Serbs?
Just the words NC State is a step up in class. Just something I never thought I'd hear ever.
Listen,
you're not wrong.
I picked BC last week, and I might as well have just taken cash out of my wallet and just set it on fire. I mean, it's the same thing.
Was that your dog? Yeah. That's my dog pick?
No, my dog was my dog was Tennessee, which is even more of an insult to injury.
Yeah.
A bunch of classless mustard bourbon drinkers.
Those against the spread, or are those straight up?
No, those are straight up. We don't go against the spread.
Yikes.
Okay.
Straight up, cuz.
I got two more for you. I did NC State. I'm going back to it. I went to this before. I've got faith. I've got faith. UCLA -2.5 against Oregon.
Roddy.
Let's go, Wayne.
Roddy.
Come on, Wayne.
This didn't go last time, did it?
I thought it did. I thought it did go well. Did we not go?
Famously went LSU in week one at the Rose Bowl, and that backfired.
I said I was going to pick. I think I said I was going to pick every UCLA game from here on. Sticking to my guns.
Here's the thing. Unlike the Washington team that they played on Saturday, Oregon does have a pulse. So. Yep.
So,
I don't know if I agree with this line.
Say it to me in Wayne's face.
I have no problem poo-pooing UCLA in front of Wayne. I have no problem doing that at all. He knows. He knows where he stands.
UCLA -2.5.
That's a 3:30 Eastern kick, by the way, at the Rose Bowl.
Why is UCLA favored?
I mean, they run the football well. DTR looked good against Washington. Washington. They weren't preseason top 10, were they? They were fringe, though, right? They were like 12, 13.
They were a top 25 team. Yeah, they were close.
God,
boy. They looked good last year, though. I mean, they were going off what they had coming back.
Washington?
Yeah.
They played four games last year.
I know, but in those four games, they looked very good.
In those 16 quarters, man.
Well,
delicious.
That defense is not bad either. Like, they got some dudes on defense, and you would not want to have to scheme for those guys. They're going to lose a lot of games the way they've already lost games, which is close.
By the way,
because of the defense keeping them in it.
Just real quick, by the way, we opened the show talking coaching stuff. Chris Peterson, just putting it out there.
Does he want it? Like,
just putting it out there. I don't know. I don't know, but I think that's a guy that you might have to call.
If you're who?
USC or LSU.
Oh, hell no. LSU's not getting Chris Peterson. No, no, absolutely not. Brian Harsin barely flew at Auburn. Like,
so
LSU?
This guy, though, the AD, Woodward?
Yeah. Oh, he did hire Chris Peterson.
Hire Chris Peterson when he was at Washington. Got him out of Boise.
Sure did.
It's all incestuous, man. Like, it's just, I mean, all these people, they're all, it's not, just putting it out there, man.
Putting it out there in the ether.
Yeah.
I was hoping Clemson was going to be favored so I could pick against them, but I'm not picking Pitt -3.
Oh, why not? Belly up to the bar, Roddy. I love that line. Pitt -3.
At home?
Lock that up, buddy.
They're gonna score 45 points. Like,
I don't know if they'll score 45 points. I really don't.
What's the over-under in that contest, my good man?
That's a good question. Here's the thing that scares me off of Pitt.
47.
Here's the thing that scares me off of Pitt in this game. Virginia Tech's got a pretty darn good secondary, and it was really hard for Pitt to get open against them. Now, are Clemson's corners as physical as Virginia Tech's? No, they're not. Virginia Tech's corners are the two most physical in the league as a tandem, but they're good. So, like, is Pitt going to be able to get open enough? Because they struggled with that against Virginia Tech, and Clemson is an objectively better defense. So I feel like this could be like a 20-17 game, like a 21-17 sort of deal. Because Pitt's going to pass interference a few times and give Clemson a couple of touchdowns.
Dude, that's like the only way Tennessee was around in that game. I mean, Pitt must have been called for 15 defensive pass interference penalties.
Yeah, and they could every single game. They could be every single game.
That's back when Joe Milton was manning the Tennessee offense, by the way. We don't need to talk about him and the way he handled that last play of the game.
I'm liking this one better. Wake -3.5 at Army.
Yeah, Did you see my reaction? I know this is not a visual medium for the folks who listen to this on the podcast, but I was scrolling through the lines and I stumbled upon Wake Army at high noon.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, no disrespect for the Deeks, man.
No disrespect for the to the cadets. They're not cadets. What are they?
Black Knights, right?
Yeah, but what are the students called? Yeah, they're the cadets. The Army cadets? Yeah, they're the cadets. No disrespect to the cadets, but Wake Forest is going to get after that ass.
It's 3.5. You want Wake minus 3.5?
Yeah, I said that. I was either going that or TCU minus 4.5.
Here's the thing about TCU, and I still maintain this, although we're running out of teams. They're going to ruin somebody's season this year. They are. They are. Maybe it's Oklahoma State. I don't know.
Keep saying that.
They're going to ruin somebody's season.
Oklahoma State doesn't need any help getting their season ruined. Oklahoma State's going to ruin Oklahoma.
Oklahoma State's a top 10 team, bro. They're undefeated.
Oklahoma State's going to lose this week, probably. They're at Iowa State. They probably lose that game. They're definitely losing Oklahoma. Like, come on. They don't beat Oklahoma.
Why don't you pick it then? Why don't you pick it then, Rostradamus, if you're so confident?
What's the line on that? I'll take Iowa State money line.
Iowa State's a 7-point favorite.
Oh, see, you won't even give me the money line, I bet.
I mean, that's not what we do here, Roddy. I mean, how long have you been doing this segment?
I don't know,
man,
if they'll win by 7.
Yeah.
But I think they win.
It's kind of chunky.
Yeah, it is a little chunky.
Speaking of chunky, Alabama, 25-point favorite over Tennessee. Just putting it out there. It's too much.
Tennessee bounces back?
No.
It's too much. It's too much.
It's not enough.
It's
too much.
It's not enough.
Tennessee can score, man.
Do you know what happened the last time Hendon Hooker saw a team that looked like Alabama? He got too cold against Clemson. The man literally had the shivers on the sideline. Couldn't go in the game because he was too cold. That's the last time he saw somebody that looked like Alabama. And Clemson doesn't look like Alabama.
It's back when Clemson was good. Remember that?
It was fun times.
Was that 2 years ago?
No, it was last year.
Oh, boy. All right, so Roddy's locked in with another six-pack.
Oh, I'm giving you six-packs every week. It's what we do.
Memphis, +2. Kansas State, pick 'em. Buckeyes minus 20 against Indiana. NC State minus 3 at Miami. That's just a disgusting, just a heinous game. UCLA minus 2.5 against the Ducks. Wake minus 3.5 at
Come on, UCLA.
Army. A lot of road favorites here, Roddy.
I know. UCLA is the only one I'm worried about.
This is a recipe for, I don't know. I mean, you're coming off a little bit of a nice weekend, so I don't want to ruin it for you.
Feeling it.
By the way, just quick shout out to Serb Stradamus. He is 3-0 against the spread. He gave out a bad money line pick.
He started feeling yourself a little bit, and I get it. That's why I want to let you back in this thing if you got one. You got one for this week, Serb?
Serbs, you wanna wet your beak just a little bit? I mean, don't force it if it's not there. But I mean, you know,
see
I mean,
how much you like.
I don't.
I feel like we're enablers here.
I don't know. I don't want to put this on the record because it's a joke. But, like, UMass ain't going to lose by 35 to Florida State.
Yes, they absolutely will. Yes,
I don't think they are.
Will.
Oh, I don't think they are.
Yes.
Oh, hang on a sec.
So
I would load up on the Minutemen.
Oh, I would load up on Florida State. I almost picked that game.
Here's the thing, Roddy, and you don't know this because you don't talk to Phil Steele once a week like Serber and I do. They have been against the spread darlings in college football the last couple of years.
UMass.
That's his word. That's Phil's world. Darlings.
The University of Massachusetts.
Yes, in Amherst. Yes, UMass.
That hasn't won a game?
They
won one.
But
they beat UConn,
it doesn't take that to be darlings.
Against the spread darlings.
That's fair.
Like
that's
covering
fair.
The spread darlings.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that because they suck, and I saw them in person.
Actually, upon further review, they're 3-3 against the spread this year. Come on, Phil. What are you doing? What are you trying to sell me?
Give me UMass. Put it on the board.
Put it on the board. Server wants UMass plus the 35. I love it. Shooter shoot, man. Good for you.
Yeah.
Do you want another one?
I mean,
sure.
If they're flowing.
Coastal.
Wow.
-4.
See,
in Boone. Give me the shots.
I like that one.
That's my kind of guy. Like, we're going to go to the game. Might as well put some action on it. I mean,
I like that one. I kind of like it.
Let's sweat a little bit in the fourth quarter.
You know what I almost took last week that I got scared away from? That I almost took? I should have taken? Was the under in the Tennessee-Ole Miss game.
Yeah, but you didn't. And now you're still having
to work for a little bit. Because I got burned by over-unders earlier this year.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of looking at the Ole Miss-LSU game, over-under 75.5. I would hit the under if I were just out
Listen,
there.
Listen, Roddy, you missed out on a bet, and now you still have to work for a living. You can't retire early.
I'm just telling you.
Because you didn't follow your heart, like that girl from the Titanic.
I'm just telling you. The under. Take the over in the South Carolina-Texas A&M game.
Hey, before we go, Roddy, are you a candy corn guy? You get down
Hell
with...
no. We go through this every year. Hell no. Absolutely not. Candy corn is terrible, man.
I got a bowl of it upstairs, man. I'm having a hard time like walking it's away brutal. From it.
Well, Jackie made a cake while I was gone. That's the wife. And
is there candy corn in it?
We're done with this. Is there candy corn in a cake?
I thought that was the. I thought you I were thought trying to bring it up. Yeah, I thought that's where you were going with it.
No, I was Natural going segue. With the I can't put it down either.
What kind of cake?
It's a chocolate cake.
Yeah. Oh, like a chocolate death by
cake
chocolate.
With chocolate pudding on the inside. No, it's a yellow cake with chocolate pudding. Like you get a box of chocolate pudding and you put in the yellow cake mix. And then you just make it like as a cake. And then you put chocolate chips in it. And then you put chocolate icing on it.
You put it in the microwave? You like heat it up at all?
I don't have time. I can't heat up the spoon that I scoop it on from like the plate that it's on. I just like one at a time, just scooping it up. I'm being like... It's not good, man.
Bro, you better get thick for the holidays, man.
With three C's.
Yo.
Just got fitted for some new suits. I'm not going
to
fit them.
Yeah, you're going to have to stretch it out, man. You're going to have to let that out a little bit. Your tailor's going to be like, Roddy, what are we doing?
You took Baby, the measurements wrong, my guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You took the measurements wrong, my guy. Come on.
Oh, man. All right. So Thursday Night Lights, you've got Tulane SMU.
Yeah,
and then it. Saturday you've got some ACC action, Boston College,
Louisville, and Louisville. Which actually I think is going to be a pretty good game. Should be a pretty good game.
And you still don't think there's going to be a job opening in South Florida?
I'm not convinced, man.
Wow.
And the reason is I don't know how to separate like the Twitter trolls from their actual financial situation and the amount that they care about the athletics. Like I don't know how to separate all that with Miami right now.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Roddy at RoddyJones20 on Twitter. Be careful out there, man. I mean, you bodied a lot of fan bases today, they might be coming after you, man.
It's late at night. Who's gonna? Oh, by the way, talking about fan bases coming after me, Kentucky fans, sit your ass down.
What happened to Kentucky?
Sit your ass down, Kentucky fans, all of you. So I go on like we're talking big picture stuff. All right, during the game. And on Thursday, and Matt brings up Georgia, Kentucky, and he says something that I take as I took it as him saying that he thinks Kentucky has a chance. And I go, you think Kentucky has a chance in that game? And he's like, no, do you? I said, I'm concerned for Kentucky. Aren't you? I said, yeah, I'm concerned that Kentucky's not going to score. Well, Kentucky fans heard that. And Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday afternoon, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Kentucky fans blowing me up on Twitter, blowing me up. And then, because I said I was concerned that they weren't going to score, when they scored at the end of the first quarter, some guy tweeted me like, what do you think of Kentucky now? Same damn thing as I thought before, man. Good team, don't step in the ring with Georgia. So sit your ass down, Kentucky fans.
Hey. They lost with honor, yeah. All right?
You got big blued, my man.
I didn't get big blued. They got big blued. They got big redded. I've never like even almost rooted for the University of Georgia, but I wanted that to be an ass whooping.
Roddy, they scored two touchdowns on Georgia, man.
One in time that actually mattered.
You can't keep like – that's not how this works.
You can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because Georgia had given up a touchdown prior to that game too. But when was it? At the end of a game that nobody cared about at the time, exactly.
Here's what I know. I know Georgia left that back door open, and Mark Stoops and them boys, they walked through it. That's all I know.
Okay, great team. Loser.
I love that we started the show with Mark Stoops should get the LSU job, ended the show with Kentucky is garbage.
Yeah,
they're the worst. Yeah. Trash.
Yeah, we've really that's hard to do, man. To bring that thing full circle,
it's like a circle.
Unbelievable. That's a gift, Roddy.
The frustration that I had in that moment, was number one, the constant, like, you like go into Twitter and it's like, oh, I've got five new mentions. Golly, what is that? And like, it doesn't go away unless you click on it. So you click on it. It's just Kentucky fans. Just railing me. Who is this guy? Typical AC, like all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't care generally, but I had been complimentary of Kentucky the entire day. I love what Mark Stoops is doing there.
Clearly. He's your first phone call. If you're the AD at Baton Rouge, you're like, hey,
Mark. It just
was
never going to happen in Athens. It just wasn't. And they got all offended because I didn't give them a chance, which I was right.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's going to be getting the better of Georgia this year, man.
What the hell's going on at Florida? They going to have a job opening at the end of the year?
Let's wrap up the show, folks. That's been it. At CS Now Tweets. We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. Wayne Cook stops by. Roddy, it's been real, buddy. A low blow at the end there, man.
Maybe you can get the answer to the Florida question.
They're fine. Don't worry about it. We're fine.
Anthony Richardson's about to jump in the portal.
Just worry about yourself.
I'm a Florida Gator right now.
Just worry about yourself. Anthony Richardson is probably going to start against Georgia, and I'll be honest, man. They might. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to save that for next week, man. I ain't ready to do that yet. I'm not ready to do that yet. But they'll be fine. Don't worry about us.
At CS Now Tweets. At Stephen Hartzell, tweet him your hug emojis when Anthony Richardson transfers.
He ain't transferring.
At El Cerberino.
Emory Jones may be transferring, but Anthony Richardson's
not going
anywhere.
How will you feel if Clemson loses this week and loses its third game of the year?
Just taking shots on the way out,
man.
Cerber put on a collared shirt for the show, man. You do not come at him.